Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk USA. Are you tired of waiting for change? Tune in to Blog Talk USA. Let your voice be heard on Blog Talk USA.
Everyone to Blog Talk USA. We are so happy to be with you on this marvelous Monday. Before we get started, let me tell you how you can always find our live programs and our archived episodes. You can always go to blogtalkusa.com. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/blogtalkusa. And you can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Radio, pretty much any place you can find podcasts. You can find Blog Talk USA, and you can find Marvelous Monday under that banner. And I think Dr. McKellar will be with us shortly. I know Dr. Hackney is finally back with us. Welcome, Dr. Hackney.
Hello, guys. Hello, team.
Hello.
it was a blessing to hear the voices, blessing to be hear the team, be on the team. Couldn't wait until this Monday night.
We're so happy that you're back and happy that you're doing well. And I'm sure you've got to have some updates for us at this point.
Oh, yeah. You know, ready for me to give them to you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, we can call them updates, but I think it's something I've been saying now almost 3 years. And, of course, my update's always been on COVID. And it's staying true to early and diagnosis and earlier reason why we formed the task force. It has not gone away. So those precautions, safe washing hands, safe distances, and get vaccinated. About 3 years now we've been talking about that. But the results of far as individual falling through has been very low and inconsistent, and that's one reason why COVID hadn't gone anywhere. That's why it's still surviving. And what only point I want to just make is I always said our healthcare data in America has a lot of gaps and need a lot of improvement. I think I've just reported this past week there are something like 160,000 plus individuals that were missed and not counted as COVID. That just confirmed the need for us to look at our data. And also to look at all of the data and how it's being reported, and include everybody in there. So that was just document that our data, what I say basically, is not accurate. It just needs a lot. There are a lot of gaps in there. There's a lot of improvement need to be made. Hopefully, we will do that. But we've got to keep saying it. So that's my update. COVID is still the same. It's still going strong. And we, until we understand what we need to start doing, it'll be here for a while. And, of course, coming off the holidays and vacations and all the family gathering, this is what we've seen has happened. It's going to care. So keep praying for everybody and just the basic things. You know, wash your hands, safe distances, and get vaccinated. It's recently just been documented that vaccines are very effective. So they only affect if you receive the vaccine. So that's where we are.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. And our host, Dr. Shirley McKellar, is with us. Welcome, Dr. McKellar.
Thank you. And, oh, my goodness, that voice that I just heard was amazing. Welcome home, Dr. Hackney.
Hello.
How are you doing? I am doing better now that I can hear your voice on Marvelous Monday.
Well, I've been monitoring your cowboy hats and all the
activities. We're on the move, Dr. Hackney.
I'm so proud of you.
You got us on the move.
And I'm gonna go ahead and tell you this. I was in, going downtown Tyler, down Broadway, as you would know. And there was a long distance on Broadway. You're not supposed to make a left turn, right?
Yes, sir.
So I was rushing to a meeting. I made this left turn. One of your finest. You should be proud of. He must have been right behind. But I just want to say publicly, you know, we're blessed with the officers and staff. And
yes,
I told him it was all because you were on city councilman while he was being elected. But he was very good, very nice, very courteous and everything.
Wonderful, wonderful. We have some amazing people that serve with the Department of the Police. And we thank our chief, our police chief, Toler, for doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yes.
Thank you, and I'll pass that on, Dr. Hadney. Yeah, during certain hours of the day, you can't make that turn.
That's right.
So at any rate, very, very, very good. Well, we're just so delighted, Dr. Hadney, to have you back on. We've missed you so very much, and you sound amazing. And so we know that now we're going to get all the updates that we need, because we know that COVID is with us, and I believe it's going to stay with us, right? I think it's going to be kind of like the flu, right?
Yes, it's true. I saw this stats today. The flu, Texas is one of the major states with the flu. Texas. I think, maybe New Mexico or whatever like that. But it's just consistent, you know, what we talked about, you know, the safe procedures, as you know, the washing of hands, safe distances, and, of course, COVID gets vaccinated. Documented vaccines work, but they only work if you receive them. So that's where we are, and just hopefully, you know, we can do more in education and just follow recommended procedures.
Yes, sir. Very good. Very good. Well, we're just so thankful to have you back on with us, and we missed you so much, and I can't tell you how much. And the team always ask about you every week and everything, so it's just great to hear your voice. You just sound amazing.
Nope.
So we got a lot going on. We know that there's tons going on in the country. I don't know if Ms. Rihanna, if you have brought in everybody, if Mr. Arthur is on, and if
Mr. Arthur is on.
Okay.
Not
hello,
yet.
Mr. Arthur. And how about Dr. Carr? Okay, we're doing great.
He'll be on in 15 minutes. I'm sorry.
15 minutes. Okay, good deal. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Arthur, can you bring us up to date on what's going on in your area?
Well, how you doing, Dr. Hackett?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I hands of a good team. God bless them. And I tell you, it's great to hear you guys' voice. And I saw whether you're building a brand new hospital in your area, so I can't wait about that. Talk about that hospital. I should have read the paper because I wanted to see exactly where in Dallas they're building a hospital. It was the front line of the Dallas newspaper this past week. I failed to get a copy, but I was going to ask you about the location of it. And
is it a private hospital or is it what?
Well, I think it's private. I apologize for not getting that article, but I'll pull that up. It's a private hospital. It's very expensive.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
very expensive. So I'll follow up. You know, find exactly where it's located.
Well, it's good to have you back. It was good to have you back, brother. You know, I was telling somebody, and I just want to ask you about that since we got you back. And the last time I remember, because I'm funneled out, right? And so, you know, last time I remember like this where I was funneled out was when, you know, we found out later on that COVID was up in here. And, and I was asking, and I said, hey, y'all, I said, now, is it just a whole bunch of mountains? Folks I know dying of this. No, that's separate. Now, last time this happened, you know, and then we found out COVID actually had started like back in like July, the summertime or something. Have you noticed that yourself or and is it something that they ain't telling us again? Or, so what is it?
Well, I'll tell you the data I tell people, the data, healthcare data in America has gaps. I'm not going to say it's completely wrong, but it's have gaps. This past week, within the last week, they reported that they have miscounted somewhere like 160,000 COVID deaths.
Okay.
There are different reasons why. That's sort of answering your discussion. misdiagnosed or didn't want to diagnose or missing certain individuals. But, you know, I was in a group the other day. When we look at our health data, I tell the group that the millions of dollars that's been spent in healthcare, all the new hospitals and all the schools and everything, if you pull up the reports from University of Texas Healthcare in Northeast Texas in 1916, 21, and now, look who's at the bottom. There's no excuse for the amount of money that's been. But the reason I'm concluding, the reason why, is that individuals who need to be included in healthcare are not included. Those are the people who look like us. But when you do the overall reports, then we are included. So if you could break it back down, who's receiving the care and who's not receiving the care, who not involved, to a certain extent, they're missing the individuals. I would say that in the rural areas where they're not. These individuals not brought into the program and treated earlier, but when you do the stats on the area, you're going to include them, and that's why stats look so bad. If you look at the stats, they're unacceptable. I told somebody it's unacceptable that a black male has twice the chance of dying of prostate cancer in these United States. It go on. We're seeing this with the infant mortality. We're seeing this with the mental health. Well, I'm going to be frank and honest with you. We've concluded that because the individuals have not going into the particular rural communities and also other communities of color, they have problems going in there. They really need our help. Let me put it that way. I'm not going to say they don't hire or whatever. They just need our help. That's mean in the area, urban area, and also the rural area communities of color. The group across the board need our help, and we're seeing that with our health, with our task, our church task force, our church hubs. I tell everybody, the trust in America is not in the political system, it's not in the universities, it's in the black church, black pastor. Now, I know we have to work with some programs there, but to reach the community, to reach the individual who need treatment, who left out all of these studies and everything, you can reach them by re-including the black church and going into the community and making sure that high individuals are in all the data. When you see a data being reported, if they don't break it down to the demographics of that data, then that data is not accurate. They're leaving us out. That's sort of a long answer to your earlier question. Why are we beginning to see us showing or not showing? Because we're not included in that, and sometimes the data, and sometimes even the treatment, we're left out. They need, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So you're saying that it could be something happening, and they just ain't telling us that they're just not dishing out the data.
If you're not included in data, they can't. It's not accurate. So whatever study you're doing, whether it be hypertension, prostate cancer, and all those, and discussion of cancers. Now they're talking about cancer increases, seeing a lot in stomach cancer. They need to break that out. Sure, is occurring in young individual, but what young individual? Are they black, white, Hispanic, or whatever? All that data. Don't just give general statements. For example, like everybody, they're talking about now the increase of stomach cancer, younger ages. But who are you talking about? Break it out. Mm-hmm. Tell the complete story. And I'm just going to say when we have opportunities to educate our community, for example, what happened with the Secretary of Defense. Mm-hmm. And also with Martin Luther King, I think, and one of his sons died of prostate cancer. This is a golden time to educate our community, being aware of PSA tests and why you need to get tested earlier. It's going to be true with gastric cancer. They were saying now the age is down to 45. Everybody 45 and above, you should try to diagnose stomach cancer. Same way with, I told someone the other day, American male, every African-American male above 40 years of age should have a PSA test. If you see a physician, you go in the area where they don't do a PSA test. If you haven't had a PSA test, you need to get one done. And this is what the information, this is why it's so important. Well, the information about our Secretary of Defense, that the whole nation should be aware about prostate cancer, particularly black males. And Martin Luther King, so I think it was his son. Now, also, the Secretary of Defense is back in the house, back in hospital. He went back in Sunday. So that's the whole story about information, how we need to approach information, how we need to educate our community. I say again, the way to reach our community, we have documented this, is through your black mm-hmm. church. That's sort of, when you think about our history, everything in this country started through our black church. Education, mm-hmm. health care, you name it. So we have sort of gotten a way of including the black church to reach our community. Obesity, food, nutrition, all those programs that we're working with, mental health programs we're working with, and also in agriculture, weight, fresh food program. All those programs, you can go through the black church to reach the community. I just saw, they just sent me a report the other day about our seniors in America have been left behind. So when you say seniors, break those seniors down. How many blacks on all, break the ages down, break the race down. But it has been documented that we have sort of left our seniors behind. And that's impacting the loneliness, isolation, driving into mental health, and all of the issues. But we need mm-hmm. to look at the whole community. And our churches know the community. For example, I'll just mention Tenahaw over there, just one of the churches, all the churches. They have health ministries inside Tenahaw. And they know everything about all their members. I don't know how many members Dr. McKellar mentioned, but they have a health ministry. This is where we're developing now, health ministry in most of the black churches that would do it. We are blessed with healthcare people sitting inside churches. There are nurses, there are doctors, there are pharmacists, there are mm-hmm. physical therapists sitting inside black churches right now that could be mm-hmm. part of a healthcare ministry that would help track the data that you're talking about. And I just keep mentioning Tenahaw because they're one of our models that they have it down. For example, they even have an emergency team, CMS team, on each Sunday assigned CMS. CMS, EMS. So I would say, average church, if you have an emergency in your church on a Sunday, if you're not organized, it's going to be a little disorganized. But when you have a health minister like Tenahaw, you have people who are just assigned, trained to do see EMS, all that. But that's what we have to do, and that was answering your question. We cannot allow the system to tell us anymore. We got to take care of ourselves. We can't depend on somebody else telling us what we're sick or what we need to do. We need to get organized through our resources, whatever they are, the churches, to inform ourselves.
When Dr. Hagney says Tenahaw, he's talking about the North Tenahaw Street Church of Christ and our health care ministry, who was the leading ministry for COVID, setting up how we could set up our COVID clinics here in our city and across Smith County. So I just wanted, just in case there were some listeners or even you did not really know who he was talking about when he said, because he abbreviates by saying Tenahaw. It is the North Tenahaw Church of Christ. Thank you.
Well, before I get my doubts before it, I'm just going to make a suggestion on the mental health piece. I think that racism, which is a mental health issue, mm-hmm. and I think that need to be highlighted when mm-hmm. when black folks are being offered mental health help, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of their dynamics that comes from the fact that they operate in this system. And over time, mm-hmm. it gets you. You either got to succumb to it, become part of it or whatever, and just mess up as far as your life. So I would like to see black male health have a racism component to it where they could help mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. through that. Yeah. Now, see, if we as African, are you depressed? Are you not depressed? Well, that's okay, but they need to go and, frame the thing and get folks the help mm-hmm. they need.
I'm going to tell you what happened in the state of Texas as well. Our state mental health agency at Austin, they came to us for us to help them identify the mental health status and needs in the rural communities of color. We worked with them in two counties as far as the survey. They're working in another county now as we speak. When they first came to us, they wanted to do a survey on a cell phone and QRSS code. We told them that would not work in our community because, talking about internet and all that. What we convinced them to do is convert that from a QRSA code cell phone to a print out the questionnaire. What we did, we took the questionnaire to our Black Hub churches in Turkey County, Anderson County, and then they fill out the surveys because they want to know the mental health need, the status of what you're talking about in the Black community, rural community. They receive the largest response from that survey. That they put that in there, and this is a state. They put that in their report. They received the largest return from their survey. So what we'll meet with a group next week about doing exactly what you were saying, to structure and identify the mental health needs in the communities of color, rural communities of color first in the state of Texas. So I'm going to give state of Texas that group, because they recognize what you just said. They recognize, and that's what's happening with all this. The university, you know, the UT system, other system, they're recognizing what they need to do. And what they need, well, like I say, they know they need to come to the Black community, and the Black community need to help them. I used to say that, you know, they recognize what you're saying, and they need our help. Let me put it that way. They need the Black community help. So if you're in Dallas, you're in a place, help people how to reach your neighbors. Now, another point we need, the youth. I need your help because that question about our youth. First, we were approached by the school district called us what was going on in schools, but also in the churches. We are working. We're trying to develop a survey, a youth survey that will be from youth. So we say what youth need and all that. So most of the time, we don't ask the youth. This survey will be for the youth answer. So I'm going to need you all. I'm going to need everybody's help to make sure we put together the right survey, to get the right question to include our youth, because as you well know, there are major issues occurring with our youth. And so anybody that can help us put that survey together before we distribute it, we're asking for your help, because we need to reach our children on a whole lot of bases, but we need to have them involved first. I was telling my board group, we need a youth on every program we're doing. We work with the agricultural program. We tell them we need youth to be there so they can help us, because they are our future leaders. If we don't do anything for our future leaders, it's going to be very interesting when we turn this over to them. You know,
right.
So we need to work with them now, and we need to listen to them and get their input and get them involved to cover all these issues, prostate cancer, breast cancer, mental health, drugs, substance abuse, all those areas. We need to include our youth and listen to them and get their expertise.
Let me go ahead and get my report. That's Carr.
Yes, let's bring in Dr. Carr first, and then we'll go to Mr. Arthur. Good evening, Dr. Carr.
Good evening. How's everyone tonight?
We're
great, Doctor.
Yes, I know you're excited to hear Dr. Hagney being back and from him. So we're going to go to Mr. Arthur, and then we'll come back and let Dr. Carr greet Dr. Hagney. Yes, Mr. Arthur.
Now, up here in the North Texas area, of course, you know, Fred Haynes has had his, inauguration. So we're still buzzing from that.
Yes,
now, politically, I guess about a couple months ago, a petition was circulating to have a recall on Johnson. So I saw a report the other day where they had 6,000 signatures so far. So I'm keeping an eye on.
Recall on what now? I'm sorry, we missed that. Recall on who?
On Johnson for becoming a Republican on us. I think it was a Democrat.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay.
Yeah, so there's
right.
A recall.
So tell us more. Tell us more.
So there's a recall movement. They recall him. The community I have. We're doing that. So there's a group that's doing a recall. So we'll see.
Okay. So everybody that doesn't know exactly what you're talking about, Mr. Arthur, can you give us a little bit more detail, a little bit more information on that?
Well, Mayor Eric Johnson, who's our mayor of Dallas, he was he's the Democratic state rep. For Dallas, and he came and after his first term, about a month into his first term, he became a Republican, to the chagrin of a lot of people, because they would have liked to have known that before the election.
But anyway, so a lot of people are, well, actually just actually disgusted. And again, you know, and it all, again, it goes back to who is the Republican Party in Texas. I would submit to you, they are a fascist organization. So when we see our leaders cozy up to these guys and act like they're just normal folks and not alerting the community to the seriousness of the political situation, you know, again, you know, that's a lack of trust. So I think that. So I think he broke the trust button when he did that. And so, you know, folks are trusting now. So, you know, and again, you know, our people, you know, we learn how to, you know, leave without moral authority and quit doing that, you know, political kind of stuff. Just say what you're gonna do and say who you are and if people like it, but don't be faking. So and I still haven't talked to him, so I don't know why he actually did that.
That was my next question, Mr. Arthur, as to was there any explanation from him as to why he decided to switch parties 1 month into his election?
Well, you know, he adopted, you know, I knew something was up when he had the governor up here when he was doing the budget and some other. Talking about some different state items. So he had the governor here with him. They did a press conference and the whole thing. That looked odd. And then later on he did that. So, you know, and why, you know, I think it's political expediency. I think it's just like, you know, Clarence Thomas and some of the other guys that became Republicans, the line is shorter for black men over at the Republican Party. So I think he saw it a little shorter. So, you know, again, now I told another one of my Republican friends, I talked to him the other day, I said, hey, look, you guys are going to, after all this is over, I say, first of all, Trump and all them folks are going to be gone here in a minute. I say, like Martin Luther King said, the measure of the man is where it stands, not where he stands the time of conflict and convenience, where he stands the time of controversy. And if you, and then after all this is over, if you were standing over there doing all of that, then, you know, how you gonna tell your kids about that stuff? You know, where were you when, you know, where you stand when all that stuff happened? So I'm just telling them, hey, look, you know, don't use up your reputation for these people. You know, shoot. And so anyway,
okay. Yeah, thank you so much, Ms. Ark, for that update. And what I'm going to request is that if Ms. Rihanna will look up the issue that's going on with Kennedy right now, who is a Democrat, came from the Kennedy clan, and he was one of those no-vaxxers, as we remember. And so it was just announced on the news a little while ago, as I came in from all my interviews for today from our Black History Program, for our Black History Program for the first Black families of Smith County, that is a probability that he would be a running mate for Trump. And so we're asking Ms. Rihanna to do some research on that.
Oh, good grief.
Yes. And how upset the Kennedy family is with the comments and things that he made in regards to the former president, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. So if you can Google that information and be prepared to share that with our audience.
You better run away from who? Who?
I'm sorry.
You say
sorry,
he might be a running mate for who? I mean, wait a minute. Who might be a running mate for who?
Vice president for Trump. And so, Ms. Rihanna, if you look that up, it just was announced on MSNBC.
Yes, ma'am.
And then we'll go to Dr. Carr and let him say what he needs to say, bring us up to date on his campaign, and then let him greet Dr. Hagney, because I know that's what he wants to do. Go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you. I was listening on as Dr. Hagney was explaining the issue of mental health. And I guess I came on just the right time, because in tomorrow morning I'll be speaking, Dr. Hagner, to a group of seniors at the agency that I retired from, and I'll be talking about mental health. That's the second plank on my campaign, and I've got some statistics here from the National Alliance on Mental Illness, which says in Arkansas that we have 7 out of 10 youth who are in the juvenile system have a mental condition. And furthermore, we have 457,000 adults in Arkansas who have mental conditions. And with this thing having taken place in Houston here just recently, the buzz is in everyone's mind. So to give me a perfect opportunity to talk about the need for mental health and the need for attention to the issues that surround the communities, because people are dying and people are being injured, and we're being put in a frenzy as a result of the lack of mental health services. The agency goes on to say that there are 1,426,000 people in Arkansas live in communities that do not have enough mental health professionals. And to Mr. Arthur's point, as I was listening on, I'm reading Robert L. Williams' book on racism learned at an early age through what he describes as racial scripting. Robert Williams is a graduate of my university, Philander Smith University, back in the 40s, and he was a professor emeritus at Washington University in St. Louis. So it seems to me like things are coming to me at just the right time, and the information that Dr. Hagney was putting over was giving me a basis for what I'll be talking about tomorrow. And again, on this Thursday, I'll be at one of the agencies in my city who provides mental health services, and they've agreed for me to come over and sit down at the table and talk with them. So what I'm gaining tonight is very valuable, and it'll give me some weaponry, if you will, to go in on Thursday and sit down with these folks in our city and to highlight why I am a candidate on the Democratic ticket for the House of Representatives in the state of Arkansas. I'm going to be doing what we have not seen done at all by the person who is the incumbent in the office. I'm going to be talking about issues that have not been talked about at all, and then Dr. Hagner, especially in the rural black communities, the people who are in District 97, which is my city, El Dorado, Arkansas, the people in my city, 95% of them could not tell you, if you ask them, who is your House of Representatives person. They couldn't tell you who he is. They couldn't say that he's been to our church or he's met with a group of any leaders in our city. They don't know anything. So this is prime time in my opinion. And when I came on the show tonight, what I heard gave me confirmation that the direction that I'm going is the right direction. And Dr. Hagner, I'll be looking forward to getting with you off the show, off the program, so that you can supply me with whatever information that you will to empower the movement so we can spread it across the southern states here. So I'm glad to hear your voice, glad to know that you're back, and anxious to, you know, get ideas from you to promote what we're doing here in Arkansas.
That's excellent. People are asking us, why don't we move the task force into other states? You know, I have something, there are some people sending some information, the Arkansas Minority Health Commission, Arkansas Department of Health, they sent me some information. I'm forwarding that on to you. And also Professor Riley there in Texas, Canada, one of our church hubs, he want to work with us over into Arkansas. He has an office there in Arkansas. And Arkansas, probably one of the states we'll move our programs out of Texas into Arkansas. And the time is so perfect with mental health. The need is there. So back up, basically what the issue is, the knowledge of mental health across the board is lacking. And what we have to do, blacks that's in position, like this Minority Health Commission of Arkansas Department of Health, you need to find out who's on. We're gonna find out who's on that commission, and they need a direct link to you, and you need a voice in that, because that's where the guidelines are set at the state level. And so to see, that's when we elect all these, and we got to stop electing individuals who don't know anything about healthcare. I mean, we have a ton of people who are in positions from Washington, D.C. all down don't know anything about mental health, and they can help our community. So we'll be talking to you about that, and there's some information. There's another young lady that's sending me some information for you. She's actually in Arkansas. We even are looking at your district up there and who's in your district. And also someone's working on the number of black churches in your district. I tell people to reach your individual in your community through your black churches. Now, not all the black churches. Now, we have a program where we're developing leaders in the black church. When I say black church, I'm not talking about every black church would be helpful. They eventually will. But a lot of your black churches, pastors, for example, what we're talking about, they need to know how to reach out into Arkansas, recognizing how the training is in Arkansas and what training programs you can put together in Arkansas. Also, your college, HBCU, there in Arkansas, we want to get them involved because when you mentioned earlier about the lack of personnel, that's true across the country, really don't have enough healthcare workers. And there's a young lady coming on board with us to help train a lot of your healthcare workers. So that's another thing. We'll look at the whole who's trained, how many members are there, get the HBCUs in there involved, but also get the University of Arkansas involved. I'll tell you why that's important. We just feel a sign of affiliation with the UT system here. The med school, the nursing school, the graduate school of public health, the pharmacy school, because I said earlier, those just Arkansas, the schools want to know about your community. So the University of Arkansas, their graduate programs, whatever they have there, they need to get involved, their graduate students in the project as far as getting the information you need. So we need to get everybody on board with that information. Chances are they don't have the information. By all means, you have an opportunity to include your youth in what you're putting together there. Because they are not only our future leader, but they are the ones being inundated with mental health issues that they are experiencing. So it is a blessing the time you're in to start from the basic to reestablish Arkansas health program. And so whoever's on a minority health commission need to meet that person and evaluate that person. You know, but we'll work with you, get the information. And so we're excited about that because you're going to document, Arkansas going to document that we can move our program in Texas, not only because we could be talking about Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. All four of those states have identical problem, identical need. So the roll a program out of Texas into Arkansas, into Louisiana, into Mississippi, they're all identical. Identify the black churches, throw there, and you can reach those communities, each one of those states. Because I can report, you know, there are some horrible things happening in the other state. But it's just because the need for us to get involved and get involved through the black churches and get the HBCUs. You know, a lot of good HBCUs to those areas. We're going to get them involved because when the government gives HBCUs money, we need to find out what are you using that money for. Are you putting that money in some healthcare positions, helping the health community? Because it's not by accident where HBCUs are located. If you look at the HBCUs across America, you'll see why they are where they are. But we need to work with them to help implement what you're talking about, to train the future individuals. And I mentioned back to the school, the University of Arkansas, getting them involved at state level. And also your county governments. County governments, that's where a lot of your money is in the whole system. So your county county commissioners and all those guys who approve all those programs, we're going to get them on board. We're in the process of identifying all those people, and we're going to get those people to you and so you can connect and also putting your package together, your presentation together, and understanding your community, your district, and your churches in your district. And I can ask you right now, who is the leading pastor of the black church in your district? We need his name. We want to make a hub out of that pastor's site. A hub is the lead church that's communicating with the other church in the county, and we send all information through that lead church, and they disseminate it out to all the other smaller churches. That's why we document we can reach the household in rural households through the black church. But so if you can help me identify the pastor, the leading, and the pastor, and he doesn't have to be leading, pastor, there, all the other pastors are communicating with in your district, in your county. He might have an association, whatever like that. But just identify that pastor for us, and we'll take it from there as far as working with him and developing that as a hub in your district.
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. Dr. Hagner, very good. And so, and also I want to make mention of what Dr. Carr just mentioned about people not getting to the polls, people not knowing who the elected officials are because they don't show up and talk to them. I think that's probably one of the reasons that we cannot get the younger generation to get to the polls to vote, to register them, and then get them there. Sometimes we can register them, but they don't may or may not show up. So we have to be out there in that community as elected officials so that when it's time to go back and ask for votes, then the people will know exactly who you are. And the way that, and Dr. Hagner says this repeatedly, but the way that happens in the African-American community is to get inside of the churches. And, sure. And don't just wait until it's time for election, but attend right. some of those and let your faith be seen out in the community. And when your faith is out in the community, people know who you are, and then they'll go to the polls and they'll support you and vote for you. Okay, thank you, gentlemen, very much. Ms. Rihanna, we're going to go to you now, and two things we want to talk about. After Ms. Rihanna gives us a report on what I presented, we also want to get a little report on what's going on with Fannie Willis down there in Georgia. As we have heard and find out that the young gentleman that she hired to work on the Trump case, which was before that they later on established a personal relationship, and we know that they did take a cruise to be exact, I believe. And but Ms. Fannie Willis has shown what I call receipts, showing that she paid her fair share and her half of a trip that they took, and that of course the attorney actually is in the process of getting a divorce or have already been divorced, and of course we know she's a single lady. So we want to talk about that as well, but we're going to hear from Ms. Rihanna with the issue regarding Kennedy. Ms. Rihanna?
Well, so far, I haven't found the headline that you saw, but that doesn't mean anything. It may just not be up yet. But I am finding things from January 30th where I didn't even know that this was a rumor that's been spreading around. That it appears to me from what I'm finding that the Trump team may have reached out to RFK Jr.'s team to ask him to be his running mate, and RFK Jr. publicly said that he was flattered but not interested. And then shortly after that, when Trump apparently started kind of acting like he acts when he gets embarrassed, then RFK Jr. said, oh, no, his team never reached out to my team. But he wasn't denying it when he responded to the question initially and said, well, I'm flattered but not interested. And as little as 5 days ago, the RFK Jr. campaign team reached out to Andrew Yang and asked him if he would be interested in being RFK Jr.'s running mate, and he said, no, I am not. So that's all I have found so far, and I did find that RFK Jr. Has claimed that his post that he made was an attempt at nostalgia, and he apologized to his cousins, but notably, he has not taken the post down. It is still pinned on his social media account. And he also – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What did that post say?
Let me go find that.
And what you just said a second ago is exactly what was announced on MSNBC. a little while ago, and that is the probability of him, that he had been asked to be Trump's running mate. Go ahead.
Okay. Everything I was putting together, it seemed like that may have been probably what MSNBC had said, but because I didn't see it straight from them, I thought, I better wait and see what she heard, because I think this might be it. While I go back to this post to see what it said, I'll also say this, that a couple of months ago, when the rumor first started circulating, RFK Jr. is married to an actress named Cheryl Hines, and mm-hmm. you guys might know who she is because she is a pretty strong Democratic supporter.
Right.
And she's been often embarrassed and upset by some of the things that he said, his anti-vax things,
right.
things that he has been okay with other people saying that have seemed to be a little anti-Semitic. She's, I believe she is Jewish. She's actually apologized for things that he has said, but not excusing him for saying them. And he notably said a few months ago in an interview that that he wouldn't accept a position on the Trump team because his marriage wouldn't survive it. And he said it kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I think anybody would say that that's probably true. His marriage probably would not survive that.
Right.
So I thought that was interesting.
Okay, very good.
And here's what I found about the post. And it was about the Super Bowl ad. Let's see. Okay, here we go. A Super Bowl advertisement mirrored one broadcast by his uncle, JFK, from their campaign in 1960. And it says it included images of RFK Jr. spliced into the original 1960s ad and a jaunty jingle that repeated the Kennedy surname 15 times in 30 seconds. It was made by American Values 2024, a political action committee. And let's see. The spot cost $7 million, according to American Values co-founder Tony Lyons. And the ad was made, let's see. Oh, it says a super PAC. Super PACs are allowed to raise and spend an unlimited amount of money in support of political candidates, but cannot coordinate with campaigns. And his family started speaking out after the ad. My cousin's Super Bowl ad used our uncle's faces and my mother's. He would be appalled by his deadly health care views. That was something Bobby Shriver said. So there's all kinds of quotes from his family that was just enraged.
That is the one
disgusted.
Right there. That, Ms. Mm-hmm. Brianna, that is the one that was just announced on MSNBC. That's it exactly. Those two things that you just brought up is exactly what was announced on MSNBC.
But let me tell you, Trump wanted him on his ticket because he sees the polls that shows that between Biden and Trump, Kennedy, he pulled more Trump's voters than he do Biden's. So he hurts
right.
Trump more. So that's why I don't want him on.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, and this is exactly what Trump did right at the tail end of his campaign. Well, not at the tail end, but around the time that Bernie Sanders was clearly not going to be the Democratic candidate, he saw that he could slice off enough of those potential Bernie Sanders voters, and he started talking like Bernie Sanders all of a sudden. And, you know, saying things that he clearly had never said before, but he was talking like Bernie Sanders. That's, you know, he's an opportunist. He knows how to do that. So let's just hope Cheryl Hines has enough hold on her husband to keep him far away from the Trump campaign.
Very good. All right. Great, Ms. Rihanna. So if you also, Ms. Rihanna, if you'd also pull up
go ahead, Ms. Arthur.
No, I was going to say she was saying, you know, about Trump being a terrorist. And, you know, I'd say his followers are more loony tunerish.
All right. Isn't that right?
Okay, so then let's transition over to Fannie Willis. And Ms. Rihanna, if you'll pull up some articles and see what that is being said. And then, of course, we just saw that Trump plans on showing up at that court date because she is going before, and I'm not sure exactly who she's going to, if she's going to go before the courts or if she's going to go before the state of the state of Georgia's district attorney, the state. And I'm pretty sure that's who she's going to go before. To testify on her behalf as far as her relationship with the attorney that she hired prior to the relationship was established. So if you can find anything on that, Ms. Rihanna. So in the meantime, while Ms. Rihanna is looking that up, I know that everybody is familiar with this, and so we'll start with you, Mr. Arthur, and see what your thoughts are if you see that she has broken the ethic rules and go ahead. Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, district attorneys need love too. We'll start there.
Okay. Yes. Where are you going? Go ahead.
Okay, so, guy, if she brought it, they like each other. He was in the middle of his divorce proceedings.
Right.
Somebody from one of the defendants in this case, attorney, you know, got in touch with. So what they did was they say, hey, look, you know, start talking about that. That's what the guy has done now. He has closed down. He's going to close up. Him and his wife, they finished with their divorce proceedings. Okay, so they're through now. So that's not an issue. So nobody's going to have to go and, you know, testify and end of that. Basically, this is just politics, y'all. This ain't got nothing to do with the case. Has nothing to do with the case. She's not going anywhere. They're just damaging her, so that she won't be put on the Seventh Circuit or whatever it is, or Supreme Court. They just basically. But as far as the case is concerned, it's not gonna have. This might have any effect on the case because it has nothing to do with the case. It has nothing to do with it. So, you know, it's more.
Good point, Arthur. Good point. Okay. What about you, Dr. Carr? What are your thoughts on that? And then we'll go to Dr. Hagney.
I think that they're obviously that Fannie Willis and the brother that she is involved with as legal strategists, attorneys, I think they both are wise enough to figure out how to get through this issue. I don't know what the ethics rules are in the case or in the state that would bind them to some pressure that would disallow the case going forward as it is. So, you know, the way I see it, I don't see how their relationship has anything to do with what Trump has done that he needs to be held accountable for by way of the charges brought against him. I think it's an excellent political football, if you will, that they can kick around. But I think when they get to playing ball, the case will go forward.
I like the way you presented that. Well, here's what they're saying. That was excellent, Dr. Carr. But this is what they're, quote unquote, the Republicans are saying. They're saying that the money that she paid him, she benefited from that money. That's why she brought her receipts showing that when they went on this cruise, she paid half of, she brought her money with her, in other words, that she didn't need a man to take care of her. She was taking care of herself, even though they had become friends. They split it right down the middle. So with the fact that they split it right Yes.
Sure made it sound like mm-hmm. that this man didn't have no money before he got that
job.
That's
right. There you go.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let me put it to the other side even, Mr. Arthur. I'm glad you brought that up. They act like this lady, Fannie Willis, didn't have her own money. She was well paid.
Yes.
In Georgia.
You're right.
Right?
Yeah. Well, that's
okay,
the
so
thing.
I wanted to bring that forward.
That you're exactly right, Dr. McKellar. I'm so glad you said that because it seems from everything that I've read from the allegations and the people who filed these ethics complaints, when it is convenient for it to seem like she had nothing, she has nothing,
yeah.
and she needed to depend
yeah.
on this man who she paid. When it's convenient for her to have had this money to have independently paid him, oh, she
yeah.
paid him. No,
yeah.
the state
no.
paid him.
There you go. Excellent.
The state paid him, and she went on a cruise with a man that she's entitled to go on a cruise with and paid her own way on that cruise. They both paid their own
yeah.
way because they both make all kinds of money.
Yes.
But Riri said he got some marked deals, right? They must have marked the bills, right? Must have marked the money.
Right. Right. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. And here's another thing. Pretty much every legal expert that has weighed in on this, other than the people who Fox brings on, and we've seen the caliber that Fox brings on,
yes.
have said that there's really, with Fannie Willis's statement where she did bring those receipts, she has utterly and completely shut down the entire argument that Trump's legal team, which is another entire masterclass of mediocrity right there, has brought forward. That, you know, their only leg that they had to stand on as far as this ethics complaint was this far-fetched, I'll tell you, here's one thing they're great at. They are great at flinging things at the wall and looking, taking a step back and looking at it and coming up with a Picasso of a conspiracy theory. Because that is, again, what they have done with this. And, you know, they don't depend on people having receipts, which Fannie Willis absolutely did. There's absolutely nothing wrong with these two people. He was a special prosecutor. He
yes.
is a prosecutor. They're going to know each other. They're entitled to be friends. They're entitled to date. They're entitled to do whatever they want to do with their two free American selves. And all she had to do was show those receipts, and she had them.
And she did.
She's an organized, intelligent
yeah,
woman, and she brought them.
Well, these are attorneys we're talking about, correct?
Yes.
And
oh, wow.
Don't you guys think that is, and then we're going to go to Dr. Hagney and let him have his comments, but don't you think that it's quite interesting that the Supreme Court does not have any ethic rules that they follow,
right.
but we want to turn around and say that these two adult people cannot establish a relationship.
Well,
right.
How many
people do you know whose family works with them, for them? Can we go back to the former guy that held down the White House and how many of his children worked in there and received money, what I call nepotism? If that's who he wanted in his White House, that was his prerogative to have his children in his White House if he wanted that. So how is it okay for him, and he wants to follow down to Georgia and show up when she presents herself to Congress or whomever, her representative for the state of Georgia, whomever she's going to present, he's going to take time out to go down there to sit in the courtroom. But go ahead, Dr. Hadley, your comments in regards to this. Where should I start?
Well, I would say American history. You know, it's amazing
yeah.
when you study American history how many people really understood what happened in American history. So much so that we have problem understanding today. You know, I've heard about that, and, you know, so much going on in healthcare, like Dr. Carr is talking about. I had to, you know, the time and the effort was gone. You know, we have two black males dying versus one white male in America, and we have the Delph and what Dr. Carr just mentioned about the mental health, how educational system, our youth are out of control. I personally, those are two grown people over there. And where we are in America, you know, none of that impacting our health status.
So true.
And they don't even know. If you would go and ask them about health care, I'm quite sure they wouldn't be able to answer. So we're gonna have to do across this board. First of all, recognize we need to do things for ourselves as a race of people. Recognize who we are, recognize how we are blessed, and listen to God lead us in the areas where He want to lead us. Because God has a master plan, and He's fulfilling that master plan now. He has identified and He's raising up people who gonna make a difference, and He is coming back. And all this stuff we're dealing with, may not mean human beings, but what we have to be about, what God's business, what He put us here for, and we got to stay focused on that. And when we talked about COVID, when we look and see what COVID has shown this country, and where we have missed 160,000 people with COVID deaths, and COVID is still here. I mean that a lot of other things I put secondary, and I apologize because people dying from this, that concerned me. The other doesn't faze me because death, when we look at the life expectancy of black males, has decreased some like 7 years. That's important. When we look at a black baby die twice as a white baby in these United States. That's what's important. I mentioned the prostate cancer. We look at the stomach cancer, all those issues. We look at flu all over the country now. And our youth, we don't understand what our youth are. Our youth are raising themselves out there. So I think that in summation, there are more important, personally, that we should be about and we should be looking at. And we should be solving more problems. I don't care what money. America, there's so much money in America there's so much money being spent in medical research, medical schools. I'm not talking about small dollars. I'm talking about $1 million being given by state and federal grant, and nobody knows what happened. It is shocking. If people just know, and then if you look at the health stats, if you were hiring somebody and you came with the stats America come up with after spending $1 billion, you would fight a whole group. But our problem, we can't fight a group who wastes all these millions. So we got to be about, first of all, we got to listen to God and have Him show us what we need to be focusing on and not being focusing on. And anything that causes someone to die, a baby or whatever, a dog, whatever, that's important.
Dr. Hagney, I want to jump in and mention you talking about prostate cancer. And now we're talking about, or I want to talk about, General Lloyd Austin admitted back into the hospital in intensive care, prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. Here's a gentleman that's had top-notch care all throughout his career. Check out. Mm-hmm. Mr. Arthur can tell you, we have to have that physical each year, and then we have to have all of our exams and things. And here he is back in the hospital. I don't know exactly what's going on, what the diagnosis are, if he's having a repercussion from, we know that he just had surgery for prostate cancer. But just remember, gentlemen, all the gentlemen, just keep track of that thing. And sometimes you may have to go back every 6 months rather than once a year to get your PSA, right, Dr. Hagney?
So something went wrong somewhere. We see, we see that's back to million and billion dollars we put in healthcare, we put in buildings, we put in places. Why we have the stats we have, and that's a classic example. We had a semi program for physicians the other day on opioids. It is shocking how doctors are striving or not for striving for opioid overdose. Either they don't do it, or they do it wrong, or they don't know how to do it. These are physicians who've been through our medical schools. See, that's one thing we miss with COVID. See, COVID showed us and confirmed with us, people who we thought knew, they don't know. I don't care how many degrees, how many plaques, where they've been, you fall, and that's why I'm going to give kudos to my doctors at UT with the product, with my bladder deal. So you talking about expert people that was on top of everything. And see, we don't, that's the fallacy in our healthcare system. You know, we have, we tell the world we have the best healthcare system and everything, but then we come through with these stats. That's what I told a group the other day. How in the world we have these stats? We have all these trained doctors.
Can I please jump in for a second? That is why we say practice medicine. Just think about this. Greatest physician is not these physicians here, even though we have great physicians and we have great medical schools. But it's they practice medicine, and medicine is it's ongoing. We learn more. The more they practice, the more they learn. So physicians are not going to get it right every single time. They're going to be, because they're human, they're going to miss something. But I always point out the fact that they're practicing medicine. But go ahead.
Doc, you know, in your mental health program and approach, and again, you know, like, you know, you're talking about the doctors, the doctors not trained like I think they are trained anyway. It's like there's no, and I'm asking you this, Doc, in the mental health piece that you're doing, are y'all also attaching folks, showing folks how that mental health creates their physical health or affects their physical health? Is that part of you all's program?
The octopus plan, I got to get the octopus plan copyrighted. When you treat mental health, and you don't just treat mental health, you treat the whole body. That's in our whole healthcare system. That's what we talk about with the octopus plan, nutrition, all that you have to cover it. Because if you don't cover one, you're going to miss it somewhere else. That's what's happened with COVID. COVID, classic example. If you don't do all the things you need to do with COVID, you're going to have COVID where it is right now. You have all the medical school, all the millions, billions of dollars spent. But look where we were with COVID. Look at the number of people dying with COVID. You had to do the whole, to stop an octopus, you have to attach all the legs at one time. If you go at the
Mr. Arthur, I want to jump in here again. To answer your question, yes. When I was at Texas Women's University, College of Nursing, we were trained on the holistic approach. Like Dr. Hagney said, we looked at the nutritional side of it. We looked at the mental side. That's why we had to be trained in med-surg, psych, OB, and which is obstetrics and pediatrics. That's the holistic man, the holistic approach. You have to look at all aspects. You have to be trained in all aspects of that physician. And I'm not sure what you meant by that. Physicians are not trained the way you think they should be trained. Curriculum is presented in medical schools throughout the country. They have, even though physicians are not trained, even like nurses. Nurses are trained to sit down and teach patients.
Okay.
When the doctor writes out the prescription and he spends a few minutes in with the patient, then he walks out and he depends upon that nurse to do the teaching
and instructions of what they need to do once they go home. That's the holistic approach. That's why I say nurses are trained to even when the physicians walk away and out of the room. Go ahead.
What I'm basically saying is, and I'm not saying that they know about all of that. They teach them all of that. But when they get out into the actual medical field, they find out they're in a corporate medical system. And once you're in a corporate medical system, all those things you're talking about, you know, again, you know, folks go to the doctor, folks go to the doctors, you know, they ain't hearing none of that stuff you're talking about. You know, all they're hearing about is the basic corporate system. And that's what I'm basically saying. I ain't saying that they don't know it. I know they know it, but the corporate system ain't about that. That's all I'm saying.
We have a new medical system now, and well, let me just say this part, is that physicians or nurse practitioners, whichever one that you're using, I'm just going to say your healthcare provider, because they no longer are independent healthcare providers. Why are they not? Because the malpractice insurance got to be so expensive that physicians could not afford. So therefore, they practice underneath a hospital system, and in the hospital system, they have to turn out so many patients per day in order to go ahead.
I respectfully disagree. I think the corporate system, they learn all that stuff you're talking about because if it was the way that you say that it actually should be, then you know, it would be a healthcare system opposed to trying to keep you healthy.
No, I said what it was when physicians were independent practices, they were not rushed through to see their patients. They sat down, saw those patients, examined them, and spent some time with them listening to the patients when they had questions. Now, because of insurance and the healthcare system being so pricey that physicians could not afford the malpractice insurance that was required of them, so therefore they started working within the hospital system. I don't know which part that you respectfully disagree, but now they're working in the hospital. Now they're working in the hospital. Let me finish, and then I'll let you finish. They now work in the hospital.
Saying the same thing. Yep. Go ahead.
Well, I'm trying to see what you respectfully disagreed with, because they no longer have that minute that they can sit down and talk to the patients. They rush them through, so the nurses are the ones who, back then and right now, are the ones who take a few minutes to try to train and teach the patient what they need to do once they go home after they finish seeing the physician. Go ahead.
Well, I guess where I said I wasn't clear on the back then versus the now, you know, that part. And so, but basically what I'm just saying is that once it became a corporate system, once the medical system became corporate, the holistic approach got the door got slammed on it.
That's not true.
Because now we're in a pharmaceutical-driven system. I'm just saying, I'm going by my experience with my mom, and I watched it. I watched the pharmaceutical system. I watched what they did. You know, I told you about how to go and, you know, get the folks straight a couple times about my mom's medicine. So I'm saying that sitting down talking and taking time patients, yeah, all that went away. You know, you in 15 minutes and you out. That's it.
We're saying the same identical thing, and that is that things changed when physicians could no longer afford the malpractice insurance. Then they went to working in the hospitals under the auspices of the hospital system simply because the hospital could afford to pay a broad insurance amount for malpractice insurance. They pay it as a group of physicians, rather than individual physicians trying to pay that malpractice insurance. That's been quite a few years that has taken place.
But remember now, part of that malpractice thing, too, had to do with the pharmaceutical industry, the medicine that they were giving people. From the pharmaceutical industries, they the ones that mainly that didn't want to get sued. And so that's really, that was part of it, too. Yeah, it was the doctors. That was a political piece of it. So, well, you know, doctors, we don't want to sue our doctors. But it was the pharmaceutical companies that, because the doctors, they were the ones that was delivering the drugs. So, you know, they the ones that was really behind. They didn't want to get sued. If you check tort reform, you're going to find those pharmaceutical companies all up on that. Because that's what they, you know, that's what they do.
The pharmaceutical companies have always been there. They're not going away. They're not even going away. Even though some physicians are going toward naturopathic medicine, they know that it's a food product that we're missing in our bodies. Every disease process that you come up with, it's a deficit in your food intake. Let's use diabetes as an example. If you're not following your rules and regs, and especially if you have diabetes that's generational, that's in your family, so if you're not taking in the right amount of foods, that's why people sometimes have to take supplements. Because if you're not getting the right foods inside of your system, you're going to come up with deficits, nutritional deficits, which would turn into diabetes, which would turn into other healthcare issues. Think about this as far as the radiation that we get inside of our bodies and the radiation stress that we have. These telephones that we're talking on right now, we have people that sleep with their phones in their rooms. They carry their phones in their pockets. And so we're getting the 5G radiation that's radiating into our bodies. So we're getting a deficit within our body with the radiation system. So there's just all kinds of things and issues that we have to deal with. But I guarantee you it's because of deficits in our bodies that we come up with very confounding diseases.
Okay. I want to mention something, Dr. Carr, on the Arkansas, what we're discussing here, and what I was talking about is the Arkansas Minority Health Commission. Their mission, I'm just going to read, the commission supports the mission through first study issues relating to the delivery of and access to health services in the minority in Arkansas, identifying any gaps in the healthcare service delivery system that mainly affects minority, making recommendation to relevant agencies that and to the legislature for improving the delivery and access to health services for minorities, and studying and recommending whether adequate services are available to ensure future minority health needs are met. And Dr. Carr, those answers what the commission is charged with. They need honest answers from the minority community.
They do.
Because it addresses what Arthur just said, and Doctor just said. See, they want to know the system want to they need help. So the state of Arkansas through the Arkansas Minority Health Commission, this is what their choices do, and they need these answers, these questions at the black churches, black community, black wherever. They need the way people feel so they can improve. You can make recommendations to the legislature. So your choice is a blessing, which you're right in the middle of helping create, fulfill all this. And your campaign component will be make sure the majority of this will happen. It will happen through the help of your black church, your black community, and other black leaders in Arkansas. So another 10 years, a year, once it's put together, if there is any faults in the system, gaps in the system, like in our care and system, you have an opportunity to help fill that up.
Yes.
What authors mentioned and other people mentioned about the healthcare system, what are we doing? Here we can document from their action from the minority viewpoint what's needed in the state of Arkansas.
Yes.
And that's going to be your charge. And we'll, you know, I'll just give you an illustration what this health commission in Arkansas is asking for.
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. That point, that's right to the point. That is the point. That's at the center of how my campaign will move forward with regards to mental health. The people in the communities, the people in the churches, the leaders, the pastors, we will gather that information from them, and we'll know what to present legislatively so that some change can occur here in our state and across our nation. That is exactly the kind of empowerment that I believe will make me a more unique candidate for the office and a more unique personality to get the word out. Because I've come to the conclusion, Dr. Hagney, that win or lose, God has me doing this for some reason. And and I see a much, much bigger picture than me arriving at a state house in Little Rock. I see a picture of me arriving in the minds and the hearts and in the will of a group of people who will have a better life because they'll have better information about mental health. So I'm all in, and I'm looking forward to the end result in how it will impact people in the rural areas across the counties, the 75 counties in the state of Arkansas. That's my greater aim, is not what will I achieve by becoming a House of Representatives member, but what can I do to impact the life and the lives of people right here around me who are having mental. A person went into a church this week in my city.
Yeah,
a person went into a church this week in my city, and the police were called to remove him because he was in a stalking mode. And this happened in my city right here this week. So this mental health issue is cropping up everywhere, and it's giving us something to talk about. And thank God that it's part of my campaign. And again, I'm the only one that's talking about this. I hadn't seen anyone else, any other candidate at any point in time, insert this in his or her campaign. And it's a big problem right here in my city. It's a huge problem.
Well,
they asked me who you're running against. I told them I didn't know. And who your opponent,
well,
who's in the position
right now.
Let me
say this, Dr. Carr. I don't know if you know this or not, but right here in Texas, in Houston, Texas, and I don't know if you know Dr. Joel Osteen, but there was a woman that went inside that church. Yes.
Oh, yes.
So,
yes.
You may have already heard about that within our area. So mental health is a major thing. And I'm so glad to hear what you just said, because here's what people who run for public office, they if they lose, then they go home and you don't see them anymore. So we have to make sure that we put an own community, starting with our own community first, and then spread out. So it's not time to go away just because you don't get that seat. Come back and run again. But by the same time, disseminate what your platform is. Continue to disseminate that into your own community. So I appreciate that comment you made. Thank you. Anyone else? Miss Rihanna, we want to hear from you. I don't know if Miss Rihanna got to go take care of the baby or not. Okay. Go ahead.
Not quite yet. No. He's in it for the long haul, I think. But I did want to not to go, too far back into things, but I did want to say I normally try to do this right after I find something like this out. But I recall a few weeks back when General Austin was first hospitalized, and we reported on it here. And the report that I read on the air that night said that he was in the hospital for elective surgery. And the very next day, we found out that that was absolutely not true. And unfortunately, we found out the real reason that he was there. But I did want to apologize because I put that information out there on our air. And, of course, that was being reported. But I didn't make it up or anything. But I did want to just apologize to everybody for putting that information out.
Sure. Thank you for that. We always like to recant and bring back anything that we may have said that was not exactly the way it was. But as you mentioned, it was being reported. So sometimes if we're not in those areas, and we're not, so we depend upon our news medias in those areas and our national news medias to bring us information so that we can disseminate it out to the people in our area. So it was not by design. It was just by the fact that it was not the correct information that was put out there. And thank you so much, Ms. Rihanna. Okay. Anybody else? Any other comments in regards to anything that we have talked about? And let me just say this, gentlemen. I still stand by the fact that we have the greatest healthcare system in the world. I stand by that. But are we a perfect system? No, we're not. Because why? None of us are perfect, and there's no perfection. And that's why I have to repeat by saying that we use the word we practice, medicine, because that's exactly what we're doing, is practicing and continuing to learn more and more. And the more research, and you hear Dr. Hagney talking about research money, the more research that we can do, the smarter we become of how to treat patients for whatever their illnesses may be. Okay. Go. Anybody? Dr. Hagney, Dr. Carr, Mr. Arthur, if you have any comments, now's your time.
I just want to tell Dr. Carr that there are other people who want to really work with him up there, and I'm really excited about what's going to happen in Arkansas, because you're at the foundation level, what you're putting together there is so significant. The impact is going to be enormous, but I would say just work, make you know, reach out for the youth and get, you know, any way you can, get the youth involved and get their input.
That's right.
And also the HBCU up there, because those are future students and everything. But I'll be praying that, you know, some youth pastors in your churches, individual youth are responding to, may be your resource to find youth. But please, we pray about that you get the youth involved, because they are really being affected by the mental issues, the stress in schools. I like to see this survey we're working on, trying to identify how we ask the right question to get our youth involved. So any input you can have on that would really be of value too, because the bottom line is reaching our youth. That they, you know, they are our future.
So true.
And another person's a group that Dr. Carr, that may be beneficial for you during your campaigning is reminding those principals in your high schools that if you have students that may be already 18 or they're age 17 plus 10 months, which means that they will be able to vote in that November election, because by that November, this November, they will already be turning 18. So to reach out to the principals to remind them that it's their task to actually make sure that these students get voter registration applications to become voters during their senior year if they are at that age group.
That's an excellent point.
Yes, sir. How many high schools do you have in your city?
We have one major high school here in our city with I don't know, what do you call them, schools that are not high schools, and we don't call them junior high schools
private,
anymore.
Right, but remember
we have
private schools and the
we have about – we have three private schools here in our city one
high school.
Right, three privates and one high school. And the private schools, of course, are not frequented by people that look like us very much at all. But the major population of African-American people will be found at El Dorado High School, which I'm told has a population from the grade level 10 to seniors somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,200. So there's a lot of potentiality there based on what you just said. That's an excellent point.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's how we reach them. We got to get to those schools. And sometimes during Black Heritage Month, like I'm always asked to speak at the high schools, the junior high schools, even the elementary schools. So so there may be an opportunity for that. This is Black History Month, and so this will be a great time to be able to be in the schools or just show up at their Black History programs. And I'm sure that they have those that are going on at this particular time. There's activities going on here in Tyler, in our city, every single day in the schools. And so I attend those. And I also mentioned that that the city of Tyler and Tyler Independent School District we're collaborating this year, and we will end it with, and I think I sent the flyer to our chat, because we're having we kicked it off with the students in the arts, and so they presented their artistic abilities. And then this past Saturday, we had our career. We brought in the colleges, and we brought in the all the Greek organizations, and that's another group that you should reach out to because I'm sure you have a Divine Nine in your area, and fraternities and sororities. That's a great organization to reach out to. And we have the Drumline of our arts academy here, and the families and friends and people all came out. There was tables all set up where a registration table, and then all of the different organizations had their tables on display. And then this coming Sunday, it will be our faith. And so different denominations and non-denominations will be there at the Berkshire Park, and we'll be in the amphitheater. Hopefully it won't rain, because it did rain on this past Saturday, but we were able to move inside to the City of Tyler's Visitor Center, and it was outstanding. And so, and then the ending date, we will have our arts, and we'll bring in the Dallas Dance Academy and put on a big event that night, and then we'll end it with this banquet at the Willowbrook Country Club. And so the ticket money that that will be used for people to come in for that event, it's after 5 o'clock in the evening on Friday event, and that funding will go toward the Tyler Independent School District Foundation, and then next year a scholarship will be given in my honor, my name, and then there will be a community service award that will be given in my name for community service that I've provided. So I was humbled by the thought process that the Independent School District came up with that idea. So Black History Month is a good time for you to have boots on the ground out there going to some of those Black History functions.
Yes, of course.
Mm. Okay.
Well,
all right.
Hey,
go ahead. And
hey, I just want to say that, again, like I said, because I've been coming to Tyler. I haven't come to East Texas for a while.
Yeah.
You know, while you were just telling you, you know, by you being down there, you know, I'm just glad to see you down there, somebody like you down there, because what's needed, and hopefully a lot of the other younger folks down there, you know, they stepping forward and doing what they're supposed to do. Because that's what we're going to have, you know, in all these
right.
places. So, and, hey, I'm just glad you're down there. I remember I was down there when you wasn't down there, so I appreciate you being down there.
Yeah, yeah. Mr. Arthur used to come when I was away in the military serving my 20 years. Mr. Arthur came in to, and he can share this story with you, when Miss Dixon lost her life because they entered into the wrong house and took the life of a senior citizen who was bedridden, as a matter of fact. So, Mr. Arthur, you can go ahead and tell that NAACP story so people will know, and Dr. Carr probably doesn't know, and I don't know if Dr. Hagney would remember it or not.
Well, for those that don't know, just the history of Tyler, Thurgood Marshall, defended NAACP in the state of Texas, because they wanted to come and get our membership list back in the day. So, Tyler, and then so some precedent law was established because of that case. So Tyler always had a special place. And then so when that situation there came up back in the 90s where they, you know, where they came in and supposedly looking for drugs and killed this woman while she in her bed, well, you know, just incensed everybody. So statewide, so the state, NAACP came down to hold our quarterly conference in the great state, in the great city of Tyler. And like I say, they, you know, they shut the whole city down. I mean, shut downtown down. Wasn't nobody down there. They said the Klan was supposed to be down there or whatever. But anyway, big long story short, we marched around Harvey House. Well, first of all, the city fathers came out and greeted us. They, you know, they were kind enough to do that. And welcomed us to the city, and then they left.
They left.
Yeah, they left. After we did our meeting, Decker, President Decker, he's NAACP president at the time. You know, he didn't want us to march around the building, but you know, we worked that out. So we ran the walk around. You know, we did the walk, and I saw the police on top of the buildings with the gun, with the machine guns, and all this. So, oh man, you know. So anyway, so we did the march around the building, and you know, and then we left. Of course, Mr. Decker, he wasn't too happy at the time. You know, he said, well, the reason he didn't want us to do it, he said, you say, you know, y'all gonna leave. We still gonna be here.
That's a good point.
But the good news is, didn't that happen to them?
That's right.
I'm just saying, have to understand y'all is that, you know, you have to stand up. You know, you can't, and I ain't saying that he was afraid. I'm saying that, you know, he knew his town and he knew what was going on. So, you know, and I understood why he felt that way. But, you know, we've got to stand up, you know. So, you know, that's what he did. So, and now, roll it forward. You know, we came down and did the Get Out Chill TV program. Kwesi Mfume was national president then. We did that for like 10 years. But anyway, we came down to Tyler, to that area. Made some great progress. And again, you know, the progress fell back. But now here we are again. Now we got, we're in a transition period in America. We got Shirley McKellar on the scene. And so, you know, we see what we see.
We got Dr. Hagney on the scene.
Oh, yes. On the scene. I like
on
the
feel
scene.
That's right. We're trying to make sure that our people get the health care that they so richly deserve. And we won't back down, and we won't stop fighting for the greater good of all mankind.
Absolutely.
And that's what we fought for. That's Mr. Arthur and myself. We serve the country to serve all people, all mankind.
Yes.
And that's what we'll continue to do. Okay. All right. Well, what else do we have on the agenda? What time is 9:36? The hour is about to let me just bring this out. And so for anybody that's here in East Texas and Tyler, Texas, that's listening, on tomorrow night, we will have, and I will moderate, the candidates forum. And we have people from the top all the way to the local. We have federal candidates coming in, we have state candidates coming in, and then we have our local candidates. So we have people from all over Texas that will be here on tomorrow evening, and that will be at 6 p.m. at the Liberty Baptist Church. And we want to publicly thank Dr. Marcus Hood, who always opens up his building for us to put on a community event. And so we have three people that's running for city council, District 2, here in the city. That election will be in May. And then we have three that's running on the constable ticket. That election will be during March when we have our primary. So that will end that particular election. And then we have all of these state representatives that are running on the state level that will be coming in. And then we have the United States Senators that will be coming in. We didn't get Colin Allred. He just hasn't thought enough of us here in East Texas come and pay us a visit. We've heard nothing from him. He has not responded. And we have Carl Sherman that's coming, and then we have a couple of others. I will put that flyer out there, Mr. Arthur, so you'll have it there.
Okay.
But that will be tomorrow evening right here in Tyler, Texas. And we have actually three different forums that's going, because we want to make sure that the people here in Tyler, Texas knows exactly who's running on these tickets all across the state of Texas. And so we want to show the people, these are the ones who think enough of you to come down and tell you why they think they are the best candidates for that position. We appreciate that.
I'm going to be on a call tomorrow night with the Colin Allred. This is a strategy campaign call. So I'm going to, I'm on the call, I'm going to definitely say, hey, you know, what's up on that? So I can report on that after I answer. But I'm going to be on the call tomorrow night with them. So see what's going on. Because I looked at the campaign team, and anyway, I'm going to ask them about that. So, you know, tomorrow night, because I'm letting them know they're missing a few cylinders. So,
Well, I tell you like this, Mr. Arthur, I'm not bothered by it, and I think not too many others are, because they see who's showing an interest in them, and so they're going to embrace who comes to say Texas, you're important to them.
Remember, Shirley, though, we're fighting history talks. Remember, you know, we started this campaign a few years ago to make people, educate folks about East Texas and about So Goes East Texas, So Goes Texas. You know, so
that's my slogan.
Mm-hmm. Some of the candidates still don't know that, is what I'm saying to you. All of them have. So we got to educate them.
And that's why it's important for the people who are working on the campaigns for these candidates to educate them. Mr. Arthur has been out there on this battlefield for years, and so he's got to let Colin Allred know, if he wants to win a seat across Texas, that he needs to show up in East Texas. Go ahead.
Send me the flyers so I can have it sent to them.
Yeah. He'll see that his photograph is not on that flyer because he did not respond.
That's fine. Yeah, you gotta learn.
You know, I recommend people to publication. They're gonna do anything in East Texas. They need to have a copy of it. One of them is the both of them are the UT studies. One I think in 2016, the other 2022, to show the health status of North and East Texas. And if you are doing anything, you need to read that book. If you haven't read that book, you don't really know what's going on healthcare in East Texas. That other book we're getting people to read is The Plantation Life of East Texas. So I think about the right people are reading that one. But I would say any elected official with all the money to approve healthcare and all that, they're flying around and spent and all that, they need to read. Then they'll understand why we're working hard here. And they need to understand there's a difference between rural and urban. East Texas. And so I was just, mental health, we need to serve it. We told people, you know, the other thing, sir, in Dallas, you don't get any taxes, but you get the mess. And so, and that's what we get along. If you're going to be a physician practicing East Texas, you need to understand East Texas. So I would recommend those two books, University of Texas Health Study, but I think 2016, or the 2022. And any person read that book and see the results and see where all the Democrats are located, then he or she can understand why he or she should represent the area. If he doesn't understand that book, then he shouldn't represent that area. And so, therefore, that's sort of plain and simple. That's what I recommend. When you start with the person, I can be a copy of those two studies. And they'll understand why East Texas is called, why they call it so area of East Texas, probably another town of most of East Texas. But we call it so belt. If you look at the face sitting up there talking about it, you don't understand why this is called the so belt. You don't understand those two reports from University of Texas and East Texas, and you really have no problem representing people who sent you there. And also the people who sent you there need to also.
And how about this, Dr. Hagman? The United States senators and the United States Congress people are the ones who make decisions for health care in this country. So they ought to show up everywhere, right? All across every state.
Yeah. I don't even know if the PSA test that Senator Booker has been approved in Washington, D.C. That bill was that PSA would be free. Now, any elected official that's anywhere in Texas should know the status of that bill and know how it relates to black males. So if the numbers we have in dying, if transportation costs is one of the deterrents, to remove that deterrent is tell every black male that PSA test is free. And that means every doctor, everybody, right, or every black and American blacks above 40 should have a PSA test. And then if it's free, then that will help that. But the elected officials need to know the status of that bill. I don't even know where it is. Is it approved, where it is? I know Senator Booker was trying to get it through. And a long time ago, Bobby up in Illinois tried to get that bill through. So we need to find out what the status.
Bobby Rush. But my husband does not pay. He does not pay a dime for he doesn't pay anything for his health care because he's under my health care and
your
health care,
right.
So he doesn't pay for a PSA when he has them done, and he hasn't done yearly. But some people don't have the supplement. They don't have all of that insurance. And so that bill is for trying to be passed for people who don't have health insurance. But let me also share this. There is no reason in this country for anybody not to have health care, and I'm going to tell you why. We have something called the Texas Department of Health and Human Services. The health department, Smith County Health Department, you don't have to pay a dime to use the Smith County Health Department. There's not, and I can tell you I'm in and out of that department all of the time. There's not one black person that I have seen. Maybe I've seen one or two black people that go in there, but who I see utilizing the health department in Smith County are Hispanics.
Yes.
You see, that's
yes.
free. That yes. that health care is free. You don't have to pay. All you have to be is a citizen of Smith County in order to use that health care. So there's no reason for any person in this country not to be able to get health care because we have that system set in place. And every county throughout Texas has a health department.
Mm-hmm.
Every county.
That's true.
Go ahead.
That's true.
But we don't utilize these.
So we don't utilize. We're working two groups
right.
now, and they still have mobile medical units. We're posting
that's
up
right.
12 health fairs throughout Northeast Texas, from Oklahoma all the way to Beaumont. One of the groups who partner with us, they have a medical unit that they can bring the whole staff, all sorts of testing, to your church site in your neighborhood. And then they also have primary care docs. If you don't have a primary care doc, they can refer you to one of their primary care docs. So like as docs, and they have a sliding scale for their costs they're fairly fair money paid for. But like Dr. Mann, it's just information, and see it's through our black churches and our black communities, and we have the events. We need to pass this. That's what's going to happen in mental health. We need to pass the information
on
to our neighbors.
Yes.
We got to pay.
There's
so much stuff that's printed and that's sitting in the warehouse. That's back to the health fair. That means the health community. And the churches, they have all sorts of pamphlets they can pass out in that church service, all these events. So the program is there. We just have to get our people there.
We got
to
get
there. They're doing now, they're coming to you. Now, Dr. Carr, what's happening in Texas, bringing health care to individuals. When you talk about mental health and programs up there,
talk about
bringing those services to those neighborhoods. Because
we could build
big hospitals and everything everybody had to come to, but that's the transportation issue. But what's been working for us is bringing those services to those churches in those neighborhoods. I wish I could record the comments from individuals when they saw those healthcare people, all the nurses and doctors, all these trained people in their neighborhood, which they'd never seen before.
Before, yes.
They really have never seen before. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to, you just reminded me of something, Dr. Hagney, and Dr. Carr and Mr. Arthur, Dr. Hagney knows this. We have something called Bethesda Healthcare System, in speaking of other healthcare systems that we have here in Tyler. Bethesda is a free service to anyone in Smith County, again, because the doctors and nurses, they volunteer their service there, so the service is free all the way to if you need to have surgery. That is free. So our people are not getting out there and finding out. And that's the other issue. At some point in time, we have to become responsible adults and
yep.
get out there and find out information for ourselves. I know we have to spoon feed some people, but and Dr. Hagman mentioned something very important. We should have brochures and stuff in the churches, like we do in our church, to educate people and let them know this is how you, if you need this, this is where you go. If you need that, this is where you
right.
go. And to show them, if you need to talk to your congressperson, this is his number.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to talk
mm-hmm.
to your House of Representatives on the state level, this is his number.
Yep.
We disseminate all of that information in our church, and I'm talking about my personal church, so that
mm-hmm.
our people will know where to go and find things. And in our announcements, we put out all health care information, medical information. If it's last week, we all wore red because it's Heart Month, right? Even though this is Love Month, Thursday or when tomorrow, whenever, is Valentine's Day. We just had our marriage ministry Valentine's banquet or ball this past Saturday. That's Red Month. They're talking about all these things that go on, but we have to be responsible and say, I need to find out something for myself and not have to always
mm-hmm.
be spoon-fed. But if we have to spoon-feed, then we spoon-feed.
You would do it.
But go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. But I just wanted to bring out that Bethesda Clinic. That's a totally free clinic.
Hmm.
So the resources are there. We just have to make sure that people know about them.
That's true.
Yes, sir. And I'm sure you have something such as that in your town as well, Dr. Carr.
Mm-hmm. Yes, our cities do have facilities and programs that address issues, but as we are collectively saying, it's not happening on a team basis. We're not getting
yes.
the huddle together and getting out there and making sure that the ball is passed around on an equal basis to every community, to every church, to every leader. So I think, you know, Malcolm X was right. He said, we're not outnumbered, we're out organized. So I think if we can get the organization piece together, I think something will truly happen. I do. I really do.
Yes, sir. Well, with the Dr. Hagney, the Dr. Carrs, the Mr. Arthur, the Ms. Rihanna's, all working, Pastor Cooper, we're all out there with our boots on the ground, making sure that people know just exactly what it is that they need in order to be that holistic person that I was talking
wow.
about. A little bit early on. And I say this to people all the time when I'm out in the community and people are calling me on various issues and things, and I say, there's nothing wrong with sleeping on the couch sometimes. And they say, what do you mean by that, Dr. McKellar? And I said, if you need to go and lay on the couch or sit in the psychiatrist's chair or the psychologist's chair or the LPC's chair, there's nothing wrong with that. And sometimes, as a matter of fact, you may need that every now and then again. So
absolutely.
That's helping us to be mentally healthy, because you cannot be physically healthy if you're not mentally healthy. You cannot be mentally healthy if you're not
right.
physically.
That's so true.
Correct.
That's so true.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And over
so, that. That's it. That's it. Okay, well, we're getting ready to wrap it up, and so we're going to do a round robin, and it's 9:53 on Monday night. This has been a heartwarming and a feisty show tonight, but we're getting our points out there and making sure that people see and know and understand that we here at Marvelous Monday want to make sure that we get the information out, that we have the microphone, that we can do what we need to do in order to save the people and make sure that they have a healthy and prosperous life. So, yes, we'll start with you, Dr. Carr, and then we'll go to Dr. Hagney, and then we'll go to Mr. Arthur, and then I'll finalize, and we'll bring Miss Rihanna back in and end us for the evening.
Well,
go
thank
ahead,
you.
Jim.
I'll close with my closing comments will be I've worked very hard on the campaign so far, and as of Friday, my website is up and running, and I'm hoping person on the team and every person in your circle of influence for Google me, and you'll see that the website is there, the get involved piece is there, the donate piece is there. Everything that I think is necessary is on the Google internet, and I'm very proud of my daughter because she's put the whole thing together. So I'm going to need some money, and I need some people helping out. So Google me and tell y'all's friends with all that money, Dr. Hagen, out there in Texas. Tell those folks to send a donation over to the campaign. We can do it by way of the internet. It's all on the website, and there's the Simmons Bank of El Dorado, Arkansas, and Pine Bluff. If you have folks in those vicinities, then they can make donations there as well. So it's my slogan for the campaign is together is the only way. And that's my conclusion for tonight.
Great. We salute your daughter for jumping in and joining in with you. And that's who we need. We need these young folks that know how to get on that website and build it up and get you in that social media. So remember, that's really, really crucial. That social media is really crucial. So it sounds like you got somebody to work it for you. So congratulations on your website.
You.
We appreciate that. Dr. Hagney?
Excellent. I want to thank everybody for your prayers. And I also thank you for praying for my healthcare team there at UT Urology Group. So I thank you for all your prayers, and I'm a living witness to prayer. The prayers work. So I just want to thank you. My last follow up test. There's no cancer. It's all gone. All the samples gone.
Thank God.
Negative and everything. So it's all because of all the prayers. So I just want to thank you for your prayers.
Thank you.
Amen. Prayer changes things, right?
Yeah.
Very good, Dr. Hagney. You've enlightened us tonight by being back here. We have so missed you, but we wanted you to rest and heal and get the feeling better, and so we can see that you've done that, and God's grace because that's the master physician. That's who our physicians and our nurse practitioners, all of these people can cut you open and they can hit you up and take out the bad piece or whatever, but the healing comes from the Almighty God.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Arthur,
yes.
Your turn.
Great show tonight. Doc, good having you back. I want everybody to know that I started I created my media company a couple years ago, but then when I kicked off my first Civil Rights Today Presents show, which was Civil Rights Presents, the Pan-African Connection. So what I plan to do with the show to educate our community about what's going on the continent and in the diaspora as we move forward to this new reality. And so we're going to be able to do some business with each other. So we need to start to educate each other about our cultures and try to get past the global racism that's been imposed upon us. So I'm looking forward to educating you guys. You can go to my Civil Rights Issues group page, my Dallas Civil Rights Issues group page on Facebook if you want to look at the interview. But thank you, though.
Outstanding. And if Dr. Carr and Mr. Arthur, if you'll put that in our chat, and I think that Dr. Carr is not on that particular one, but we have another one that Dr. Carr is on, that you can put his link in again, and then Mr. Arthur, please put yours in so that we'll have it right at our fingertip and we can click and go right and make it.
Do that.
Well, listen, guys, as Mr. Arthur said, it's been an amazing show this evening. I have certainly enjoyed being right back here. The only person we missed tonight is Pastor Cooper, and we know that there is a Monday night call of all the Texas pastors throughout Texas that is working on behalf of Representative Carl Sherman's campaign. He is also a minister and pastor and elder in his church and the minister of his church. And so they have that at 8:00 on Monday night. And of course, he will be here in Tyler on tomorrow for the candidates forum. so for those of you that I think it's, and I'm pretty sure I know that it's going to be on Zoom, and if, in fact, that it is, I'll get that link and put it in our chat so that, and I'll make sure that you get it also, Dr. Carr, so that you can tune in.
Please do.
Listen.
Please do.
Yes, yes, okay. All right, so it's now 9:59, and we're going to, I think Ms. Rihanna can hear us, and so she can come back in and give us our theme song for the evening. The one final thing that I want to make mention is that we know that President Biden has been vindicated from doing any wrongdoing, but the report came back instead of people focusing on well, the person who wrote the report, instead of him focusing on the fact that he was vindicated and did not do any wrongdoings for handling documents, that he focused on that he's an elderly senile, and I'm going to use the word senility because in essence that's what it amounted to, that what he was trying to say and saying about President Biden, instead of saying that he was then he became, instead of him being an attorney, he became a physician or a nurse practitioner who can diagnose, or a clinical nurse specialist, which we don't have any more of those. That was what I did long years ago. So in the meantime, I thought that that was pretty wrong, but that was playing politics. I think somebody mentioned tonight about playing politics. It was Dr. Hagney or someone, and that's what that was all about, playing politics. So with that being said, it is now 10:01, and so we'll turn it over to Ms. Rihanna. Thank you, gentlemen, and we'll see you on next Monday. Be safe out there, as Dr.
Thank
Hagney
you all
mentioned.
Have a good evening. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Ms. Rihanna, it's all yours.
One day when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory.
Glory. Glory.
Oh.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory.
Glory.
Oh,
glory. Glory.
Now the war is not over. Victory isn't won. But we'll fight on.
Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon
is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win the war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes,
thank you, and have a great week. Bye for now.